Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4833. And the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. And we're going to read our foundational scripture we are using for this teaching on we must know the reality of God's word. We must know the reality of God's word. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now we see in scripture that it says something very, I believe, glaring. It says without faith. It didn't say without praise and worship. It did not say without tithes and offering. It did not say without prayer, it is impossible to please him. No, the scriptures clearly tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that lets me know, or puts up my antennas to let me know, that faith has to be important if we're going to please our Heavenly Father. And so I believe after one is born again, the most important thing we as Christians must learn to live by, and that is by faith. Many of us as Christians are living a weak life. Many of us as Christians live on the weak level of inadequacy. Many of us as Christians live on the weak plateau of defeatism because we have not risen to that level of strength where our Heavenly Father meant for us as Christians to live. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it encourages us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. No one can be strong in the Lord without being strong in faith. Therefore, I want to talk on the subject, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. The six principles of obtaining strong faith. Now, last week, we began this teaching on the reality of the Word of God, and we found out that the Word of God is a living thing, which means it can impart life. Living things perpetuate life. Living things have within them the ability and the potentiality to reproduce life. When something is dead, it doesn't give birth to life per se. But when something is alive, it has a capability to impart life. God's word can impart to us spiritual life because the word is alive. Amen. Too many Christians have very little regard for the reality of the living word of God. If they really did, every time the doors of the church are open, it would be packed and jammed. For you know that God's word says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as the manner of some. So we should constantly, always be coming together, assembling ourselves as Christians for praise and worship, for fellowship, and for instruction in the word. Amen. You should be asking yourself, is God's word alive in me? Until it does become alive in you, you will never have strong faith. Let me repeat that because I believe that is so important. Until it does become God's word alive in you, you will never have strong faith. You will not be able to exercise strong faith. Your faith will be weak. Your faith, strength-wise, will be like a little baby, weak, helpless, and totally dependent upon someone else. Now, Christians come to Dr. Michelle and myself wanting us to pray for them and with them. They think we have some type of spiritual magic or corner on the market that God's not going to answer anybody else's prayer but ours. First, we are not that selfish that we would want God to only answer our prayers. And secondly, God does not operate like that, for He is not a respecter of people. What He does for one, God is obligated to do for another, all things being equal. Amen? He's your Father too. Jesus is your Savior. He is your Lord. I want you to get to a point where you'll begin to believe in the reality of God's word and then act upon it. You should not want to be a baby in regards to God's word. You should not be dependent upon anybody in this world. Dr. Michelle and I are not going to be dependent upon anybody. I have learned that the only person you can truly depend on is God. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are people that do things for us and for me. And certainly, I have to look to people to do things. But my faith and my final gratification is not in those people. I look beyond them and I see God. I trust God. I don't trust people to pay my wages. Now, yes, the money has to come through human hands. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Again, that's Luke, chapter 6, verse 38. And let's read. It says, the Bible tells us, and Jesus is speaking. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. So we see the money comes through the hands of men. But I and Dr. Michelle, we don't look to people as the source. I don't depend as a pastor upon whether or not we have a big crowd as to whether or not I get a paycheck. I'll get my money because the bank of heaven is sovereign. Let me repeat that. I'll get my money because the bank of heaven is sovereign. Glory to God. I get it because God will see to it. If only one people gets on our teleconferencing Sunday morning call, I'll still get my money because, amen, because I am looking to God, amen. God's word is alive in me and he's alive in you. At times, we really don't have the appreciation for the word of God that we should. People use the cop-out that the Bible was written by men. Well, my question to you is, who told you that? Unless you were physically there when it was written, you are barking up the wrong tree. Please go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And it says, all scripture is given. So let's stop there for a minute. It says all scripture. So that means nothing is left out. Let's continue. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good works. Now that word complete in the original King James says perfect. It says that the man of God may be perfect, and which means spiritually mature. So the word scripture is another word for Bible, word of God or holy book. And those words are synonymous. So we must understand that we're talking about the word of God. Amen. And so God wants the man to be complete or spiritually mature. So how then can you be spiritually mature unless you spend time in the word of God? Now let's look at verse 17 again, and I notice what it says. It says that the man of God, not the man of the world. So God is talking about us, those of us who are born, who have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. Amen. He says that the man of God, not the man of the world, but the man of God may be complete, fully, spiritually mature. That's what complete means, fully spiritually mature. It does not mean flawlessness, but spiritually mature, being full grown in spiritual matters. That's what God wants us to be. That the man of God may be complete, spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I don't believe God puts adjectives in his word for no reason. And what I mean by that, notice he uses the adjective good. in this verse to describe the noun works. So let us look that there could be, so that lets us know that there could be bad works. Because you would never have to use the word or the adjective good if there wasn't an opportunity to do bad. Amen. But our Father wants us only to do good works produced in his children's lives. We are his children and we should do good works. Now, this is where we left off last week. And I just want to give an introduction before we got to where we are. And we said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible is God's inspired. The Bible is God inspired. It is a living book. It is alive. Now, please repeat after me. The Bible is God inspired. It is a living book. It is alive. Amen. Let's repeat that again. The Bible is God inspired. It is a living book. It is alive. Amen. Whether you believe it or not is irrelevant. It will live on. But those who do believe the Bible and those who will get in step with it will find out very quickly that God's word is alive. I did, and I got in line with God's word. When you understand that it is a living thing and begin to act like it is truly a living thing, you will break the chains of weakness, doubt, and inability. You will begin to rise in the arms of strong faith and be able to move the hand of God. You can never appreciate God, and you can never fully love God until you love God's word. Did you get that? It says you can never appreciate God. You can never fully love God unless you love God's word. Your love for God is based on your love for his word. If you don't love God's word, you don't love God. Amen. By the Spirit of God, I will prove to you by his word. Amen. You must learn and know how to love God. You must learn and know how to love God. How could you love a God that you have never seen, might be your question. How could you develop a feeling of love, feeling of affection for God when you have never seen him? Good question. How do you work to put yourself in a frame of mind where you could love God? Another good question. Even after you have said these words, God, I love you, it's like you are talking to a wall because you cannot see God. So how can you love somebody? How can you have the feelings for somebody like that? You cannot touch God. You cannot look into his eyes and see his expression when you tell him that you love him. It is difficult to figure out how to develop a love for God. Well, let's look into his word to understand how we can love God. Please turn to John chapter 14. Again, that's John chapter 14, verses 21 through 24. All right. And it says this, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, he who has my commandments and keep them. Now, there's a two part to that. He says, he who has my commandments and keep them. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest or reveal myself to him. Verse 22, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Amen. Now, the bottom line is we have to love his word. That's the bottom line. We have to love the word of God. So you want to know how to love God? You have to love his word, and you have to do his word. Now, in the previous scripture, we see that the word keep used three different times, and you may think it means to retain in one's possession or power, like a family heirloom. But in the Greek, the word keep does not mean what you think it means. The word keep is an action word, and it means to do. It means to do it. It means to do God's word. When the Bible tells you to keep God's word, it means to do God's word. Amen. It means to do God's word. If you're not doing God's word, Jesus says you don't love him. Please go to the book of James, chapter 1. Again, that's James, chapter 1, verse 22. And it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, let me repeat that again. It says, be doers of the word. That means to do it or to keep it, and not just hearers only. And then it says, deceiving yourselves. Because if you're not doing the God's word and all you just is doing is hearing, you're deceiving yourself. Because you're not doing anything with the word of God. You're not letting your light so shine before men. You're just hearing the word of God. But we must be a doer of the word of God. Now, I like to read the same scripture, James 1:22, from another translation, because I like to read it from different translations so I can get a different flavor and compare it and see the difference how these translations compare with each other. And this is from the New Testament of Modern Speech by Richard Francis Wayman. And it's the same scripture, James 1:22. And it says, but prove yourselves obedient to the message, and do not be mere hearers of it, imposing a delusion upon yourself. Amen. So it says, prove to yourselves obedient to the message. So I have to prove to myself that I can be obedient to the message or to God's word. And it says, do not be mere hearers of it, imposing a delusion. A delusion. Kind of sounds like deception. So in one verse, we see the word deceiving, and in the other verse, we see the word delusion. Now, these words are synonyms, and each one means trickery, mistaken belief, or misunderstanding. So if you're not doing God's word, you don't understand God's word. So if you aren't a doer of God's word, then you are being tricked. You are being mistaken in this belief, and you do not have the understanding of his word down in your spirit. Amen. Jesus says, if you love me, you will do my words. If is the qualifier. Not just on Sundays, Christmas, or resurrection days, but 7 days a week, 365 days a week, 24 hours a day, we should be doing the word of God. That's why the scripture said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. Amen. How many of you say they love God, but really that place does God's word have in your life? How many of you say they love God, but really, what place does God's word have in your life? If you don't do what his word says, you are fooling yourselves. Jesus said it. He says, if you love me, keep my words. Amen. That also means you will do his word, because God's word is a living thing. Amen. Go to John chapter 6. Again, John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus is speaking, and he makes this statement. It said, it is the Spirit who gives life or quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Amen. When Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life, what did he mean? What did he mean when he said that? What was he really saying? He was saying, if we accept his word and believe his word and digest his word, it will cause create spiritual life inside of us. Hallelujah. And you and we will be able to live spiritually. Jesus meant that if we accept his word and believe his word and digest his word, it will cause and create a spiritual life inside of us, and you and we will be able to live spiritually. Amen. Well, you know what? I am just about out of spiritual time. So we'll come back next week. But please remember these words from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And it just simply says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. I pray that you have a wonderful week. And we'll see each other again under the banner of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I love you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net. and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.